PR.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the local edition on a Monday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. In the second half of the show, we'll learn about the Thanksgiving meals that will be given out by the Regional Food Bank. They plan to do the biggest one-day meal distribution in state history. But first, we have New York Focus on the line. We are joined by Jenny Zhao, reporter for New York Focus, to discuss her investigation into how a sudden Trump administration decision is forcing New York counties to impose a SNAP work requirements for sooner than expected, a move that could cut off food aid for hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers and overwhelm already strained county social services agencies. So welcome back to the program, Jenny.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, my first question is, you know, your story opens up with like a surprise announcement from the Trump administration. What exactly changed in the SNAP timeline, and why is it such a shock for New York counties?
Yeah, so basically, in the midst of ongoing government shutdown, states like New York basically got a really surprise notice from the federal government that said that states with current waivers to work rule requirements for the SNAP program, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as food stamps, that those waivers were going to be canceled. So these are waivers that are already in place. States like New York have had them for years, really. And what that basically means is that New York State was anticipating having to deal with these new changes next year, sometime around March, and now they are going to have to start implementing these changes pretty immediately, starting next month. This would really be the first week of November.
What could that mean for folks? Like, how many? I guess do you have a guess from how many New Yorkers will be affected by this?
Some estimates put out there on how many total New Yorkers could be impacted by implementation of the new expanded work rule requirements, but they're a couple months old, I would say. And the way that those estimates were created were based on like the rollout being next year. So at this point in time, I'm not confident at being able to give you a good number of how many New Yorkers are going to be affected, except I'm going to say it's likely going to be hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers we're talking about statewide.
Now, you quote Green County's commissioner in saying that they're brainstorming to stay ahead of the storm. What are some of the creative or desperate measures some counties are trying to stay ahead of this?
You know, it's a really tough time right now for county social service departments across the state. Right now, they're typically dealing with an overall uptick in applications for heating assistance. So that is something that they do every year around this time as the weather starts to get colder. But on top of that, they're now having to deal with essentially implementing these new work rule requirements for SNAP, which is something that New York State has not done really in a really long time. So these are sort of requirements that are going to be quite new to most counties. And they were going to be extremely new to the SNAP recipients who have not had to deal with these requirements. And the requirements themselves are quite onerous. They are going to essentially apply to adults without dependents, so-called able-bodied adults. And they are going to have to essentially continually certify that they have basically done a certain amount of work hours or in school or volunteer. And they're going to have to do this with their local county social service department as a condition, a requirement, so that they can continue to be enrolled in SNAP. Otherwise, they will be cut off after a pretty brief amount of time.
And what happens to those who are not able to work, who are on SNAP benefits because of a disability or something else?
So because the work requirements do apply to so-called able-bodied adults, that shouldn't impact SNAP recipients who are already receiving disability. This would impact adults who, again, would be considered able-bodied by the federal government. I will say, though, there is a general overall question of whether or not counties, in the sort of rush and chaos of implementing these new work rule requirements, if there are going to be mistakes made where people who are eligible, who are working, who are, you know, meeting the requirements, that they will not, that they will, as a mistake, still be kicked off the program. That has been a fear that anti-hunger advocates have had from the very beginning, that work rule requirements like this sort of just add to the burden of paperwork that SNAP recipients have to perform, and also, you know, county offices have to perform. So there is this gigantic fear that people who are eligible and who actually meet these work rule requirements can still get dropped off the program because of processing errors. And I hear that a lot when I've been reporting on SNAP and other public benefits programs. People tell me all the time that, you know, their benefits were cut off because of a processing error. And again, that's under the current, you know, regime where there's the changes have yet to take effect. The idea that you're going to suddenly put hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers and subject them to new requirements that they've never had to deal with before, and that there's not going to be mistakes made, is a quite wishful thinking.
Right, and definitely, and especially when agencies are losing people or being laid off, I can see that, you know, the huge workload is bound to happen. Some mistakes are bound to happen, I'm assuming. We're all human.
Yes, yeah. I mean, in New York, every county social service department, they are the agencies that are processing these applications, right? Like the job of administering SNAP benefits typically falls down to the county level here in New York City. And you're really talking about county social service departments that are already really strained. You know, they have had issues with having ample staffing just on a regular year, you know, without all these issues and all these changes. And so now when I spoke to some counties about how they're going to rush and get all these requirements in place, they basically told me, like, they have no clue how they are going to be able to get this in place in November. They're expecting a lot of overtime. They're expecting, quite frankly, like, chaos was the word that was thrown around a lot.
And on top of this, the backdrop of the government being shut down, you know, how can the shutdown make things even worse for SNAP and WIC recipients?
Unfortunately, the shutdown is adding a whole other layer of complexity to all of this. So, you know, right now, as I'm speaking with you, we're in the 20th day of the federal government shutdown. This is around the time that anti-hunger advocates were warning that, you know, if the federal government shutdown, you know, is prolonged, it could start impacting payments to programs like SNAP, but also WIC, which is the program for pregnant women and children, which also provides additional food assistance. These programs, the benefits are paid out on a monthly manner, and the longer the government shutdown goes on, there is a general question of if these funds are actually going to be paid out to states like New York, and if New York actually has money to distribute. So there's some sort of motions going on right now to see if, you know, the Trump administration could pay for some of the benefits. Most of that discussion has been about WIC. And in regards to the last government shutdown, what ended up happening, I believe, were that, you know, states issued benefits and then were able to get, I think, reimbursed later. But I'm not clear if that's the same situation could happen again this time. There's a lot of unanswered questions, and I think if you're a SNAP recipient, it's shaping up to be a really, really time whether or not you're going to be swept under the new work rule requirements that take place in early November, or if the government shutdown persists and you're not sure if you're going to get your benefits for the month.
Yeah, it seems like all the bad is coming all at once. Seems like this is
yes. Yeah, and on top of that, I'll point out that with the government shutdown, what's also potentially going to happen is that food banks are also likely going to see issues with their food distribution as a result of the federal shutdown because they rely on federal food shipments. So folks out there that are thinking, okay, if I don't have access to my SNAP benefits, maybe I can go to a food bank. That system is also kind of at risk with the government shutdown as well. So it's going to be a really, really sort of unstable, somewhat chaotic time for the food system.
Has there been any sign that Governor Hochul or state lawmakers might do something to sort of help fill in the gaps?
I have not gotten any sense from Governor Hochul or from really top legislators on what they are doing to confront all these federal cutbacks and these federal changes. You know, earlier this year, I reported on whether or not the governor and top legislators would be supportive of a special session, because that was initially what a lot of legislators said they wanted to do, that they wanted to hold a special session to get all the lawmakers back in Albany and maybe pass some kind of legislation to ensure, you know, critical funding for these public benefits programs, including food stamps, continues on regardless of what the federal landscape looks like. But that doesn't seem to have happened. There seems to be really little energy for a special session, or there's some discussions of tax revenue proposals, which basically is raising taxes in New York State, likely for like really high earners or corporations or things of that nature, as a way to sort of backfill these federal cuts. But again, all of that would really need to take place in Albany. Mm-hmm. And for the time being, most policymakers are saying they're not going to really discuss that until January, which is when the legislators get back to Albany for their regularly scheduled session and to tackle the New York State budget.
Jenny, before we go, is there anything else that we have not touched on you want folks to know about your article or another article that you're working on?
Just so your listeners know, SNAP is one of the oldest public benefit programs in the country. This is a program that's been going on for decades. Nearly 3 million New Yorkers are enrolled in SNAP, and the average household receives $376 a month in benefits. And for a lot of people that I speak with who are SNAP recipients, this is it for them. You know, this is what they rely on to fill their pantries and feed their families. So any sort of cuts in funding to a program like SNAP would really hit hard at New Yorkers at a time where food prices still remain really high, inflation is still an issue, and just in general, you know, the food system, as I mentioned earlier with food banks, they're all just in a really tough spot right now. So these sort of changes to SNAP happening all of a sudden are really happening at a really tough time overall for the food system and food insecurity in general across the country, but also here in New York State has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten any better since the pandemic. It's just sort of gotten worse. A lot of New Yorkers really rely on these benefits to keep themselves fed and to keep themselves healthy. So there is a really large question here of if we're going to see sort of widespread hunger and just food insecurity rise to levels that we haven't seen before.
We're talking to Jenny Zhao, reporter for New York Focus about her article, Surprise Trump Move Will Upend New York Food Stamps. Again, Jenny, thank you so much for talking to us. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We'll learn about the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York is launching the biggest one-day meal distribution in state history. That's coming up next. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
There is a sense that, you know, this administration says and does a lot of stuff that doesn't actually happen, that changes the next day. And so I think investors have really started to try not to react to those more superfluous things and instead focus on what's real.
I'm Natalie Kitroev. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Welcome back to The Local Edition on Monday evening. I'm your host, Patricio Robayo. Today, we're talking to Barry Lewis, Senior Public Affairs Officer for the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. The food bank is launching a first of its kind Thanksgiving meal distribution in the Hudson Valley, providing more than 115,000 Thanksgiving meals to over 25,000 people across Orange, Dutchess, Ulster, Rockland, and other counties like Sullivan County. With the help of more than 800 volunteers, this will be the biggest single-day distribution of Thanksgiving meals in New York State. So welcome to the show, Barry Lewis.
Thank you very much, Patricio. Appreciate it.
So how did this come about? Because this says this is going to be a huge first-of-its-kind distribution of Thanksgiving meals.
Well, last year, the Regional Food Bank, after more than 50 years, Equinox, a nonprofit, had been serving the capital region with Thanksgiving food. And they needed help. They just couldn't do it anymore. So the Regional Food Bank stepped in and served folks in the community, in the Albany area. And our CEO, Tom Nadachi, saw how much food was able to be given away and how quickly the need went. In 90 minutes, they were thinking they were going to have a full day. You know, it exploded. Last year, Food Bank served 150,000 Thanksgiving meals in six counties in the region. Went so quickly that the decision was made, we're going to do it in all 23 of our counties that we serve. And so now, this year, we're going to include the Hudson Valley community, and also up north in the Plattsburgh area. So in one day, it'll be the largest single-day Thanksgiving distribution meal in New York State.
Yeah, and I'm sure the logistics has to be hard, but you're coordinating, you mentioned in the press release, over 800 volunteers for pickup and drop-off. Is that correct?
Right. So what we look to do is, and we want to make sure that we're not impeding on food pantries that already have a Thanksgiving program in place. We want to add to that. We want to help them. We want to go into communities that are not currently being served for that holiday season. So, right, we're looking at, as you said, 115,000 Thanksgiving meals, 25,000 people in the Hudson Valley. And so in pretty much your listening area in Sullivan County, we will have on November 22nd, that morning, we will be at the parking lot of the Government Center in Monticello, and that's going to be the key Sullivan County distribution site, and cars will be able to drive up. We'll fill the car up with about a 30-35-pound bag, food items, turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing mix. You know, a lot of it is the farm-to-food, as much of that as possible. But we also know there needs to be some canned good, some shelf-stable products to really give people a happy holiday season. So it's going to be a lot more than they would need for just one meal.
Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, food insecurity is such a so widespread, and while these things do happen, like at Thanksgiving and Christmas and other holidays, and we are all, I'm sure folks are thankful for that, but how are you working with sort of community partners or other agencies to ensure that this Thanksgiving effort is just doesn't address, you know, one day need or a couple of days needs, but creates a long-term support and impact?
Well, that's where, you know, for Thanksgiving, you know, we really started planning this thing, you know, a day after last Thanksgiving. You know, the decision was, okay, we need to expand. You know, if you're going to be handing out 115 Thanksgiving meals, you can't wait until October to start buying turkeys. So we started doing that pretty much the end of spring and springtime. So we have a lot of key volunteers, donors, sponsors, probably about nearly four dozen in the whole region. You know, the major supermarkets that people are aware of. A lot of the supporters that have helped us all year long, and they're, and you know, the county support as well, and then just individuals. And as you said, we would need the volunteer effort is always so critical at the food bank. You know, you've seen, and we've talked about this, that we would have to hire almost two dozen more full-time staff to help sort the food that we provide that comes in at the food bank. So the volunteer effort is always very, very critical. And, you know, this Thanksgiving site, in which we're going to be at five different locations throughout the Hudson Valley, you know, it makes it that much more critical that we have people that can go to our website and sign up. So if you're listening in Sullivan, you can come to the government center. If you happen to have friends and family that live in maybe Ulster County, Orange, or Rockland, you can go to those sites as well. So we're really going to be spreading wide. It'll start at 10 a.m. We know the cars lined up early, and I can tell you that, as you said, during this period where, you know, people are feeling the pressure, they're getting the bills, heating oil is going up, rent's going up, we know food prices are high. You know, folks who are working for the first time in their lives are turning to the food bank for a little help. Holiday season, and we're really helping them, you know, kind of stretch their food meal dollars.
And you mentioned the volunteers. Are you still in need of volunteers throughout the state or in this area?
Oh, very, very much so, Patricio. If people go to the regionalfoodbank.net, regionalfoodbank.net, you can go to our website. You can click on how to volunteer shifts. It's such a great feeling. So we're going to be doing the Thanksgiving distribution the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So we know holiday time is crazy. People have plans. You volunteer, you'll be done. You know, you got the morning, you'll be out of there by noon at the government center, and you're going to feel good. We have families, they come, they bring their kids. It's a great way to really show your children how they can get involved in their community. It's so critical, and the people who are pulling up are incredibly appreciative. There's no better than being able to volunteer and help, and you know it's your neighbors. You know it's the people in your community. You're helping touch the lives of so many people in a positive way.
Now, like I said, this is happening in Monticello on November 22nd in the government center. Now, there's no criteria of if you want to pick up food. There's no criteria of you're not checking IDs or anything like that. You just go in there. You need a meal, just drive up, walk up, and you'll get a meal. Is that right?
It's that simple. You know, People ask us sometimes about that, and you know, if you go to an emergency room at a hospital, people take care of you. Mm-hmm. You come to the food bank, you're going to be on that line, pulling up your car, maybe walking from a senior site or your home. and you want to get a bag for Thanksgiving, we give you one. You know, we're not looking for identification. No one's questioning you about your help, about your finances at all. We want to serve the community, and we know the need, as I said, is greater. We've got federal cuts this year. We know they've eliminated more than 7 million pounds of food to our region. That's more than 5.8 million meals. So everything the food bank does on a daily basis, and this special distribution of Thanksgiving, you know, we hope is going to just help out so many families. Again, those who are just hitting some financial times that they didn't expect, and others because of cuts where they thought they had some sort of help coming in, and suddenly, you know, the government is no longer there for them. This is where the food bank can step up and help them.
Have you seen the need in your time at the food bank? Have you seen the need of gone up for food bank services? Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. We saw the numbers increase after the pandemic, and that was expected. But we're now seeing even more. Last week, I was over in Highland Falls in Orange County. It's right where West Point is located. And because of the government shutdown, you know, it's possible that, you know, the military, the soldiers, folks who are, you know, at West Point, they may be getting paychecks, but there are so many people in that community, especially who work at West Point, and suddenly it's closed. Volunteers there, the government officials in the village, they reached out to the food bank and they said, we'd like to set up a pantry. Can we help? And it's over the weekend, we gathered up all the food and it felt so good to be able to go to Highland Falls. We helped these people in the community who suddenly, you know, they're waiting to see. They don't know when their next paycheck's going to come. They're federal employees. They've been working at West Point, and now that it's closed, you know, they're trying to stretch the dollars, and we were able to really give them a helping hand. So we're seeing that across the board.
Yeah, like I said, and you mentioned earlier, you know, these are your friends and neighbors, folks who are working. And that's one thing that surprised me most when I even hear the community cupboard does. Run by the Cunard Cooperative Extension, when I went out with them, what's one of the things that sort of surprised me most, that the folks that were being have the food delivered to them were working. They're working people. They weren't, you know, they need the extra money or the extra food because of their job is just not making it anymore.
You're exactly right. These are working people, and you know, people who are listening understand nobody wants to have to wait online, you know, a half an hour, 45 minutes in, you know, in the rain and the weather gets cold. Some folks who are waiting have to carry back the bag to their home or their apartment. You know, they may not have transportation, where they may have to be taking a bus or a cab. They don't want to. You know, we're seeing senior citizens who, you know, for the first time have had to turn to a food bank. We're seeing husband and wife, married couple, both working, turning to a food bank just for, you know, just they need a break. They haven't done anything wrong. They're working. It's not as though, you know, suddenly, you know, they put themselves in a bad situation. Life just turned. And so they turn to the food bank. And, you know, if we can give them that little bit of help, if we can help fill the gap, as we like to say, that's what we're looking to do. And, you know, people can donate to help us. They can donate their time. They can donate money. We work with so many of our community partners. I think most people know of the partners we deal with, particularly in Sullivan County. We have great partners. We work with Sullivan 180. We work with Cornell Cooperative Extension, A Single Bite, Federation for the Homeless, the various churches. I was over at the at St. Peter's in Liberty, the church there, one of our pantry partners. And so many of these places, you know, turn to the food bank for help. And so, you know, by talking to you, we can then reach out to the community, let them know what's going on, and seeing if they can help us.
We're talking to Barry Lewis from the food bank, Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York, about one of the first ever largest food distribution that's going to happen on November 22nd statewide. And here locally in Sullivan County, it's going to happen at the Government Center starting at 10 o'clock. Barry, again, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else that we have not touched on you want folks to know about?
No, well, we have that event coming up. And as a side note, if people are around Montgomery on Saturday, this coming Saturday, we're going to be doing Healy Brothers. One of the automotive dealers has worked out a deal where people can test drive a car, and it's a fundraiser. It doesn't cost you anything. Have fun. They're going to be donuts side of it. It's very family friendly, and it's a fundraising event, and all the proceeds. So every time you test drive a car, the food bank gets money. And so that's going to be on Saturday in Montgomery from 10 to 4, where the food bank is located. It's just another opportunity. Different groups are doing different things, different ways to help the food bank. What you folks are doing is another great example of how the community is really stepping up and helping us get the message out.
We're talking to Barry Lewis, the Senior Public Affairs Officer for the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. Again, thank you so much for talking to me, Barry. Thank you so much for all the stuff that you do for the food bank, and I do really appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate all the work of Radio Castro. Thank you very much.
And that does it for the local edition. We'll be back tomorrow and do this all over again. Don't forget to check out Tim Bruno on Radio Chatsco starting at 10. Lucy, have a good night. Everyone else, take care.
Hey, this is Matt Hurtado. Join me for Virtual Soundscapes, your gateway to the best music in gaming. Classic tracks from the 8-bit era, modern releases, and interviews with the minds behind the games. Wednesday night at 9 on Radio Catskill.